morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here this morning. I am joined today by one of my old friends from college. I haven't seen him in 28 years, and somehow he has found me. I thought I had hidden better than that, and somehow he has found me. Please welcome from Avalon Consulting, it's Casey Green. Casey, how are you?
I'm great, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Casey is the one of the co-owners of Avalon Consulting, and this is a well, I tell you what, let's say you want to save the personal stuff for last, or do the personal stuff.
You do
now.
It. It's your show. You run the show.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do, let's talk about Avalon Consulting first, and we'll talk. You guys are winning a big award here, right now, aren't you?
That's correct. Just were named to the Inc. 5000 for one of the fastest growing companies in America. And I'll have to tease you, Bruce. I give everybody a hard time. Our name is actually Avalon Consulting LLC. I make a big deal about the LLC.
Do you really?
From a branding perspective, there's a lot. Avalon, as you know, is a very common name,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And so there are a number of Avalon Consultings out there. And from a branding perspective, I give people at our company a hard time about making sure they always say LLC. So I have to give you the same hard time.
Permit a silly question then, Casey.
Sure.
Where in the world did you come up with the name Avalon Consulting? Why did you choose Avalon? Do you like the Brian Ferry song that much?
Yeah, exactly. That works out. The wine. The builders. The name was chosen by Tom Reedy, the founder. Tom and I have known each other for a long time. He founded the company. Named it Avalon. I joined afterwards. As a marketing perspective, a branding side, I think there's easier names than Avalon. But there you have it.
Well, they didn't ask you, did they?
That's right.
had it been you, what would you have named the company?
I have no idea. So I think you take what name you've got and you go with it.
Casey's Consulting.
That's right. Casey's General Store.
I like it. Yeah, that's taken too, though.
That is taken.
Tell me exactly what Avalon Consulting does.
Sure. So we are a boutique consulting firm, high tech.
Okay.
As you know, when you knew me back at Illinois, I was a computer science engineering student there and worked in high tech as I joined industry in 1988, moving down to Texas to go work
for... Why'd you go to Texas?
The job. We got a job at EDS.
Okay.
Ross Perot's company. Yeah. What had been Ross Perot's company.
Perot wasn't there anymore by then, was it?
Perot wasn't there anymore. And the company was at that time going through the transition from Perot's very structured environment. You know me well enough to know that I'm not necessarily...
You don't like structure all that much.
I'm okay with structure when it needs to be there.
There you go.
I like to ask questions. So.
I do understand that.
So I asked many questions when I was there that probably wouldn't have worked out well if Ross were still there.
All right.
But that's what.
Hold on. You were gonna pick a fight with Ross Perot?
No, I wouldn't pick a fight with Ross Perot. I wouldn't have lasted long if I would have gotten a fight with Ross.
Okay. Down in Texas, you worked for EDS for a while, and
right. And then we got settled in there. Low cost of living, nice place to be, made friends, had kids. So we
living the good life.
Living the good life.
Then you decide to your friend, you run into Tom Reedy.
That's right. So Tom actually, there's a longer story to this. I'll figure out how to keep it short since this is only a 40-minute show.
You've got as long as you like, Casey. Right, we can always break this into 5 days.
There you go. Let's see. As you know, I'm from a big family.
Yep.
I have 7 siblings, and my folks had several siblings, so we had lots of cousins.
Lots of folks all over the place.
Yeah, Thanksgiving time, we used to always drive out to Cleveland,
okay,
where I had cousins out there on my mom's side, and the Reedys lived across the street from
really?
My cousins there.
No
and,
kidding.
That's right. So small world. As I'm at EDS, I was one of the people that in the program we were in, EDS liked to have. They would bring people in for recruiting trips.
Sure.
They would grill them all day, and then they would like to send them to dinner with me to.
Oh, okay.
To have conversation.
To help them decompress.
That's right.
I get you. All right.
And on one of the dinners, it was a late call up where they told me, Casey, we need you to do dinner with this candidate we have coming in. He's very important to us. I don't have any information. I'll send you or fax you his resume. That was before, right? They couldn't text.
Sure,
there was
sure.
Not all of the modern conveniences we have now. So they faxed over the resume. Teresa, my rule was that if I was going to these dinners, Teresa had to come with me because we were newly married. She didn't
sure.
know anybody down
don't
there.
Don't know anybody. Don't want to sit home alone.
And that's right. So I figured, I'll do the dinner for EDS. We'll get a nice steak dinner for Teresa. And Teresa was driving. I was reading the resume and and looking at this person that had a Mentor, Ohio address, had gone to Lake Catholic High School. I looked at the year of graduation, and I just told Teresa, this guy's got to have graduated and known my cousin John.
Your cousins.
And sure enough, I'm sitting at the bar waiting, and I didn't have a picture of him, so I didn't know what he looked like. Strike up a conversation at the bar with the person I'm next to while I'm waiting for the recruiter to show up. And after some conversation, he looks at me and says, "Are you a Green?" And that kind of threw me back. I was looking for the cameras, right? Like a Canon camera, but it was Tom.
Yeah.
So we became friends through that process. He came to EDS. We spent a lot of time since we were working on related teams at EDS, worked on a couple projects together, and said, you know, someday we're going to get together and kind of do consulting the right way. And so he did that first, started the company in 2003. In January, and halfway through the year, I joined up.
So you're both EDS. Were you at EDS all that way?
I had been at EDS from 1988 to 1994.
All right.
And then I joined a spinoff of EDS called Antares Alliance Group.
Okay.
Moved into product management and marketing. And
what exactly are you consult people? What exactly does Avalon consult people with?
What we tend to do mostly is work with large enterprises on the advanced technologies that are coming out. So we're a smallish company. We're right at about 75 people, but we have big clients.
You help them figure out their computer, their information systems?
How to handle their data, how to be able to do more with their data. And that's becoming more important for businesses moving forward. There's data coming in from all sorts of places, and to the extent that you can figure out how to manipulate that data, then you have a competitive advantage.
Right.
And that the challenge for an organization, if you're, say, a Marriott or one of our clients, think about the kind of technology challenge, the day-to-day operations they have to deal with.
Marriott would have, you got to figure Marriott's got 500 or 1,000 properties, right? I mean, how many properties do they have?
You know, I don't know how many properties they have, but they have a lot of data, and they have a core systems. Yeah. An organization that size has so much in the way of core systems, they can't take their strongest IT people and have them go deal with the new technologies because they have day-to-day business to run.
They've got
they need their core systems to run. Right. But it becomes a challenge for them because they also have to figure out how do we leverage the new technologies because they have to stay competitive, they have to innovate. And that's the space that kind of Avalon's going after, is to help organizations like that. We have, unlike a lot of consulting companies, we have employees. We don't use contractors. And we have senior-level people.
Right.
So a lot of consulting companies are a few senior-level people, lots of junior-level people.
A lot of drones.
That's right. And we're the opposite of that. Most consulting companies are what you would call a pyramid.
Okay.
A lot of people at the bottom, and you get fewer and fewer as you go to the top. And a lot of those people at the bottom are contractors. What Avalon's model is we're more of a diamond. We have a lot of senior level people and a few people at the bottom, and we're also employees.
Sure. So what size corporations do you typically deal with? Do you deal with? You're a consulting firm. Are you dealing with mainly just multinational giants, or do you also have the smallish folks too?
Well, we like the multinational, giants because they've
got more money.
That's right. They've got more money. They have interesting technology challenges. So they're interesting from a technology perspective, and the quality and caliber of people that we have like taking on those technology challenges. And you can have great technology challenges at the big companies. There's also, it simplifies it from a business perspective in that once we go in, have a successful project, we earn our credibility with them, it's more likely that they'll have multiple projects. So from a business perspective, it makes it easier to run. But we also have, because we're a boutique, we can work with the small clients too. So we've got startups as clients. One notable one is Pathios. If you've ever heard of them, Pathios.com. They are a website to discuss religion and spirituality.
Okay.
And it's a fascinating journey they've been on, but they launched in 2009. We helped them build their delivery engine. They said, we don't want to own any computers. We don't want to have to have lots of spend on getting there because we're just starting out, but we want to scale in case we get to a point where we have millions of visitors. And frankly, we kind of chuckled. We thought, well, that's bold, ambitious plans to get there. Didn't know that they would, but sure enough,
they're there.
They're there, and they're
no kidding.
I think they're like the top 250 websites now worldwide.
How many people work with them, or how many people work there in this, in an organization that? Because it seems like they're probably just putting the same stuff out to everybody who checks out.
They're a small organization, but they have lots of bloggers that print topics, and they stay independent of any one religion.
Yeah,
and so they have.
Well, see, now that would make it a lot. That would, to me, tend to make it quite a bit more of a good chance to. It septuples your crowd. You know, if you're just Christian, you're only going to have like 750 million potential customers.
That's right. It opens them up to more people, but it also creates challenges, right? Because they have one of their popular channels is the Atheist Channel.
Really?
And it's really interesting to read the articles. I find it intriguing to read the articles, and you learn a lot by reading different viewpoints. But it also offends people on either side.
Oh, sure.
So you'll have people that are there to read some of the atheist articles, and they get upset by what they see, say, on the evangelical Christian side.
Right.
And likewise, people that read the Christian articles will get upset. And they have a Muslim channel. They have
That must be fascinating for you, Casey. Because that way all you are basically doing is building the highway, or helping build the highway for these folks to all talk.
That's right. We help them build that, and they're really self-sufficient now. So we do a little bit of work for them, but kind of got them stood up.
I'm talking to Casey Green. He's my old college roommate from freshman year at Illinois, and he knows where all the bodies are buried. So we're going to talk a little bit more when we return here about Avalon Consulting LLC.
There you go.
As well as their big prize that they're being awarded this week when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 at WFIW-FM in Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey, also online at WFIWradio.com. I'm joined this morning by Casey Green. He's one of the owners of, what is your title? I've got your card here.
I'm the Executive Vice President of Corporate Strategy. That's my official title.
Okay. EVP of Corporate Strategy. And that means you also clean the trash cans out?
That's right. If you ask others to have on, they would tell you I'm the chief troublemaker.
Well, now that happens too. I've seen that in action too. But he is with Avalon Consulting LLC, and they are a consulting company for basically information technology, right?
That's correct.
Tell me what this big award is that you're being awarded this week.
So in 2009, when the downturn hit, as I mentioned, we are mostly employees. We don't go the contractor route. And we're senior level. So
downturn.
We have
which downturn? You mean the
economic
downturn. The big recession. 2008 bomb? Yeah, okay.
Yes, and for us, we felt it first quarter 2009. That's when the impact came to us. So up to that point,
large companies decided whenever they were looking for a place to cut costs, consultants became part of that.
Yes, because cash management became a big thing for those organizations. So. Okay. So we were an easy target for projects to be cut, and here we were with we don't have VC money behind us. We're self-funded. It's
venture capital money behind us.
No venture capital money, and we want to stay that route because it allows us to operate the company in a way that we have the ability to say how we operate.
Okay,
we don't have to be focused on. Let's say the more monetary focuses. I'd like to talk about some of that too later in terms of some of the charitable work we do.
Sure.
So as the business slowed down in early 2009, we were faced with: do we make cutbacks to ride out the downturn, or do we invest in training? And we decided that we were going to invest in training, keep the people we had, and we made a transition to looked at where the industry was heading.
Invest in training your own people, or
correct.
I meant either that or invest in trying to help teach other people how to train, or training other companies.
Our investment was in training our own people into some emerging trend. And that's when we saw the emergence of what's now being called big data. And it's really unstructured data. Think about things like tweets and Facebook posts and things like that. Yeah. The companies want to deal with that.
Yeah.
And or say from you know, drive through here on the drive from Evansville, you know, you see all those oil and and natural gas wells, right? That think about the data that's being generated off those
all
now,
tons.
Automatic, right? Yeah. And how do companies deal with that and react to that more quickly? It seems obvious that there's data there that could be useful. It's not as obvious how you take that data and do something
right.
with it from a technology
so
standpoint.
So what Avalon does is figure, at that point, you began to try to figure out how to go that route.
Correct. It was take a look at the technologies. We felt that that was a trend that was going to become more prominent, that companies would struggle with that for the same reasons that as technologists, we could think about that as technologists from a gosh, that would be difficult to address that challenge.
Right.
And
a lot of folks are getting just bowled over by information that they probably need but they need a way to coordinate it.
That's correct. So you know, in hindsight, that turned out to be a good decision. If you go to Google and type in big data consulting, we show up as the first result.
Really?
On that, because we've been doing this we've been talking about it for a long time.
Did you buy it?
No, didn't buy it. There are three.
No kidding.
If you type in that search term, because that's a popular search term, right? Lots of companies want themselves to be seen when you type in
big
data consulting. The first three are paid, sponsored links.
You're the first unsponsored.
The first unsponsored.
I got you.
But the sponsored ones are clear. You can tell that they're sponsored. But so
well, you see, now that makes a difference. As a consumer, as one of your potential buyers, that probably makes a difference to them.
We get a number of inquiries from people that find us through that.
Yeah, okay.
And
all right, so 6 years ago, you started you're doing that.
Yes. So, boy.
We're trying to get to the award.
Where did I go on this
trail? Casey,
oh,
we're getting to the award.
You know me well enough, Bruce. I can get
see, the cool part,
ladies
and gentlemen, the cool part about Casey Green, he'll start talking about anything, and then he'll go on to something else, and then go on to something else. It's a lot of fun.
As the seventh of eight siblings, Bruce, I had to just keep talking or it's over.
You didn't get a chance to talk.
That's right. So when I got the floor, I filibustered.
I don't blame you.
So that investment that we made in those technologies and that trend has paid off well, and it led to some very nice growth over the last several years. And I think the growth rate was 78% growth from 2011 to 2014.
When you say you have 75 employees right now, how many did you have back then?
That's a great question. I don't know. I'd have to go back
recall?
And look it up.
Any recollection? You're not. Are you not in the hiring side? I guess?
Less than 75.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But as you've grown to 75, clearly you're working with a lot more businesses now than you ever had been in the past.
That's correct. Yes.
How big is your client list? I know we're not going to talk about many of the clients, if any of the clients, but how big of a Rolodex do you have now?
Boy, you should give me a chance to prepare for this. I would have gone and gotten my cheat sheets together and looked up all this data.
You knew a month ago you were coming here, Casey.
Yeah, over 100.
That's great.
Over 100 clients. I would say probably 75 that are on the Fortune 500. So we have a significant number of big clients. We have significant applications that we've implemented that people would know if they saw them, and some we're not allowed to talk specifically about them due to contracts. But there was one, a major media organization that did an anniversary celebration in the spring of a comedy show that plays on weekend nights.
Okay.
And they have a mobile app that they launched with that.
No kidding.
And there's a lot of fanfare around that. I'm sure you've heard of it.
I can't think of it off the top of my head because I don't watch much. I watch sports. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that, Casey. I watch sports.
So it's a major network's live comedy show on.
Oh, that
on
one. Yeah, okay,
and,
now
uh,
I got you.
So
that was a big show. They did a big app for that. A new app for
a mobile application, and that we built that. That was.
So did you get to meet Eddie Murphy?
I cannot comment on that.
Well, you told your kids you got to meet Eddie Murphy, though, right?
I wasn't out there. We had smarter people than me working. That's our success, Bruce, is in that we get smart people
that's
to
probably
work on these projects, not me. Keep me away from the project.
That's probably smart. I'm talking with Casey Green. He's one of the co-founders or co-owners of Avalon Consulting, LLC, in Dallas, Texas. But, you know, you'll work anywhere, won't you, Casey?
Yes, all across North America. We have our headquarters in Plano, which is north suburb of Dallas. We have offices in Chicago, set up an office in Minneapolis, Boulder, D.C., and now we have an office in St. Louis as well that we're expanding. So,
is Dallas still the there for a while in the 80s, it was the hub of the computing world. It's not – Texas really isn't the hub of – is it more Silicon Valley and just manufacturing takes place in Texas, or how's that work?
There is a lot of activity in Austin and Dallas on the high-tech side. Dallas was, up through the early 2000s, a big hub for semiconductor and chip makers. And then when the tech wreck hit...
That was early. That was before the major downfall in 2009, right?
Yes, that
the
was
tech
before.
Wreck was 2000.
Yes, yeah. Tech wreck was 2000, and that hit the chip makers pretty hard. And that hit an area of Dallas that was very strong in that industry. Took a pretty tough hit then, but again, you know the dynamics that you have in Dallas right now from a demographic standpoint that make it a good location for companies to move into, and there's a lot of corporate relocations happening to Dallas for this reason, is it's a very cheap cost of living.
Yeah.
If you look at Silicon Valley, and the cost, and I don't know if you ever get a chance, if you've ever been out there, you get a chance to go out there much, it's nuts. You know, I was out there last week. You want to stay at a Motel 6, they're wanting $299 a night. And, you know, that's a difficult pill. Yeah,
for anybody, from a
cost of living standpoint, it's pretty crazy out there. And Dallas, Austin offer.
See, I've always kind of thought that Dallas was still a relatively high cost of living.
No,
maybe just as Texas goes
compared to Fairfield, Bruce.
That's true.
Morton, where I grew up, our cost of living.
Your cost of living in Morton was not very expensive.
No,
either.
So it's different for us.
Well, you see, now that must be a culture shock then, though. Whenever living in Dallas, is it a culture shock living in Dallas, or have you gotten over that, I guess?
Well, I think that my first culture shock was the first time you and I talked when University of Illinois said, your roommate is Bruce Dickey, he's from Fairfield, gave me the phone number, and I called and talked to you, and I thought, this guy's from Georgia.
He's from Alabama?
Yeah, it's a southern accent. And when you said it was Fairfield, you're in southern Illinois, I thought, what the heck?
Casey's going to start telling where the... he's going to start telling stories.
That's you remember what your first comment was back, though, when I said that.
You
asked me how...
That was 30 years ago. How can I remember that?
Yeah, I remember this, because you asked how many... You know, asked about my family, and I said I had 7 siblings, and you said, are you Catholic?
Yeah, that's exactly... I'm not one to beat around the bush, am I, Casey? Oh, that's cool. Okay, well, I tell you what, we're going to talk family business and that kind of stuff here in a little while. Before we get to that, let's talk a little bit more about. I want to know a little bit more about Avalon Consulting, and now that you're been named one of the fastest growing companies in the world,
in America,
yeah. Fastest growing companies in America. Avalon does not spend all its time making money, do you?
No, and that's I think one of the things that we take the most pride in is our work outside of the technology space or outside of the business space.
Yeah.
So, you know, the St. Jude shirt that I'm wearing here, fresh off my visit there, we do work for St. Jude as a client, but what we take the most satisfaction in is our charitable activities.
Tell me about some of those.
Well, there's one, and I can send you a link that I don't know if you have a way to share that.
Sure.
Last year, we had our entire management team. We did our quarterly managers meeting last August in Memphis. And so day one, we had a series of meetings. Day two, we took the whole management team over to the hospital, and we did a tour of the hospital. We did a tour of the Target House, which is where the long-term cancer patients are. And then we sponsored a games night.
So no kidding.
Where we sat and we played games with the kids and served meals to the families and gave the parents a chance to get a break. It's crushing when you see these families in the environment that what they're having to go through. It puts everything in perspective. And the reason we did it that way, and then day three, we picked back up with our challenges on the management. But you go into day three of our managers' meetings, And
yeah,
and
what was the change, Casey, in attitudes of your folks the day at the St. Jude's Hospital must have just been profound.
It's the recognition that the things that we thought were challenges or wanted to fight about, right? I mean, it puts in perspective, say, you know, our problems are not that difficult problems.
Right.
The people that have difficult problems is this child that is dealing with trying to recover, beat cancer, right, or recover from brain surgery where they had to do that, and what the families are dealing with to get through that. So, you know, and I think that kind of grounding and rooting you back in reality of what's really important in life, that's important to Tom and I. And that's kind of in the fabric. And as we go and recruit people and try to hire people, we look for people who share that vision.
Right.
And honestly, when we work with clients, we look for clients that kind of share that vision. But we're a boutique.
Well, see, that's the other good thing. As a boutique, you need clients. You need the constant client flow, but you can also pick and choose
right? That's correct. And we love our clients. We have great clients. So, you know, that's the part that makes it fun. You know, there's always going to be challenges on projects, but
tell me about the kids. Tell me about the kids at St. Jude's. Tell me about you had a particularly, I thought, enjoyable time with a youngster.
Yeah, you know, having been from a big family, you know, we were always competing in games of some sort.
Yeah.
So I sat down at a table with Let's Go Fishing.
Okay.
And Wynn was competing.
Is that like Hungry Hungry Hippo? Did they have a Hungry Hungry Hippo game?
They didn't have Hungry Hippo, but it's similar.
Yeah, I remember that movie. I don't know the fishing game.
The fishing game, you hold a little pole that's got a little, you know,
a little hook
at the end of it, but it's just a little ball.
Okay.
And then the fish are sitting down in this board that goes around in circles. The fish pop up, the mouth opens.
All right.
And if you position the ball right,
they'll take the bait.
That's right.
There you go.
And so you each have, you know, you have fish of different colors.
Okay.
You have four fish you have to catch, and whoever catches their fish first win.
So you're sitting there and trying to engage a child.
That's right. And we would, you know, it would range from having multiple children at one point in time playing down to where you're just one-on-one with it. And then there were multiple games tables that were around. The kids would rotate from game to game. And some of these kids were, you know, again, it's part of that sobering aspect, right? When you're there on set, it puts you in the perspective of what they're facing. They're shy. I mean, these are young kids that are having to deal with something very difficult.
Sure.
Right. And they're shy and say, so part of it was you try to reach out and engage them to get them to play.
Okay.
And I spend the better part of my time at the table trying to encourage this one boy who was standing off to the side but didn't want to engage, you know, just didn't seem one. Every time I'd try to wave him over, he'd kind of just shake his head no a little bit. But
yeah.
He finally came over and played, and I wrote a little story.
Tell the story. It's a good story.
But
if you want.
Boy, I can't remember all the details.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what happened. Casey was finally able to engage this nice young child into coming over and playing Let's Go Fishing. And Casey would catch one, and the kid would catch a fish, and then the kid would catch one, and Casey would catch. Casey basically became competitive with a poor little sick boy, and then whatever.
He was enjoying it.
So he liked it when you caught a fish, stood up and spiked the thing, right? Is it?
Well, he won the first game. I won the second game because I convinced myself that he did not want to be handed the victory.
I see. Yeah.
And it was in the rubber match when I was beating him, and I was in my own mind going through should I really catch this last fish and actually beat him, or should I let him win? I thought, you know, it wouldn't be right for me to let him win, so maybe that was the competitive side come out. But, you know, as I was ready to catch the fish and win, he, like, whacked my stick with his and knocked at the table and then caught his last two fish. And you know, the laugh, and then he laughed, you know, and he you know, just gave me the
great.
I got you. And that was priceless,
yeah.
That moment. You know?
Oh, that's wonderful.
And looking over and seeing his parents who were watching this, and, you know, the mom was crying with tears of joy from seeing the son interact that way, you know, the way come up. That, you know, makes it all worthwhile.
That's
more important than anything we've accomplished as Avalon to me.
That's an amazing story. I'm talking with Casey Green from Avalon Consulting,
LLC.
I was going to say it. Avalon Consulting, LLC out of Plano, Texas. And they're just, they are current recipients of one of the fastest growing companies in the United States Awards through Inc. Magazine. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Avalon, as well as probably catch up a little bit about Casey and his family and see what's going on. We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. Good morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390, WFIW, FM 104.9, Fairfield, Illinois. Also online at WFIWradio.com. Appreciate you all tuning in today. I'm joined by Casey Green. He's one of the owners of the Avalon Consulting LLC out of Plano, Texas. They've just been awarded one of the fastest growing companies in the United States. And that's just not for, that's not only consulting firms. That's
it's all firms.
All firms.
Right.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
I guess.
Right. Was this a surprise? Was it something you had been aiming for? Have you been holding out for this plaque for years?
No, you know, we don't go for the trophies, but, you know, we try to do things the right way.
Yeah.
And treat people right and have successful implementations. And then the rest comes at that. We suspected that we had a good chance based on the growth rate that we've had.
Yeah. Casey is also my former freshman roommate in college.
Good times.
A long time ago. And he and I we're kind of hashing out old times. What, his lovely wife, he's still married. How long have you been married now?
27 years.
June of
88? 88. And the wedding that you didn't make it
the
to.
The wedding I got to tell the story since I was en route to their wedding. And I made it to about Clay City, and the car broke down. And Casey's been very bitter since then. And we have...
I was bitter long before then, Bruce.
Yeah, that's right. You've been bitter for a long time. I was unable to make it up to the wedding. And just, you know, how one of those things work, as time passes by, you lose touch with folks. Is there anybody else you've gone out and tried to... get back in touch with that you've lost?
You know, I will say, I'm not sure what to make of it.
I mean, I lost you and you lost me, though I think we're probably, there's no blame to throw around here.
It's tough, right?
Other than my car breaking down.
Yeah, I grew up in Morton.
Yeah.
And lived there all the way through high school, went to U of I, right? 4 years at U of I.
Sure.
And then went to Texas.
Texas immediately.
And it's just difficult to, and you know, as my family members moved out of Morton, there weren't as many things holding me back to bring me back to,
sure, to Illinois.
Morton or Peoria. Would come back to visit the folks, on occasion. But when we would do that, we were coming back to visit with them, not
right,
to go and go try to reconnect with friends. Facebook coming along at the end, you know, I'm still not sure what to make of it, but it has made it much easier to reconnect with people who were friends. You're not on Facebook, but
you,
I know
of all people, are still not sure what to make of Facebook.
Well,
that to me,
it's a privacy thing for me.
Me too. I mean, that's why I'm not on Facebook. My wife is, but I'm not on Facebook because it's a privacy thing.
Yeah,
I just don't like the thought of people being able to find out stuff about me with willy-nilly.
I will say the newer generation doesn't think of things that way. But the funny thing is that the newer new generation, right, the people that are my kids' age, they're using Facebook less and less because
really?
We're on there.
Oh, is that right?
So
what's going to be the next? Next big one? What do I need to be paying attention to on the stock front?
I don't know. Go. You know, do a little buy coffee for some 19 to 23-year-olds and ask them how they're communicating.
Really?
Yeah, that's how you'll find out.
That's probably the way to go.
Yeah.
That's. I hadn't really thought about that. But Casey is a executive in the computing and information data technology industry. And tell me about the family. Tell me about Teresa.
So, 27 years putting up with me. You can do the math on that, Bruce.
I'm astonished that the woman is a saint.
Yes, the woman is a saint. We've now just, we got both kids out of the house.
Okay, where'd you send the kids?
Ben went to Rose Holman, right up the road from here.
And your daughter is?
At University of Evansville.
Is Maddie?
Yes.
Okay.
And so both needed to get far away from me.
Yeah, I was going to say, why in the world did the kids come up to central Indiana and southern Indiana whenever There's nobody left in Morton, right? There's been no family left in Morton.
Well, we still have family up here, right? So for Ben, it was a matter of he was a competitive soccer player.
Okay.
Wanted to play soccer in college. And
probably wanted a nice engineering school.
Yes, and he had good grades, very high test scores, wanted to be in the best engineering school that he could go to, and that one that had a soccer program. Mm-hmm. And he's competitive, did not want to go into a place where the soccer program was uncompetitive.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked the kid. Talking to a guy who just tried to beat a poor little sick child, and his son's competitive. I'm really shocked by that, Casey. That's just amazing for me to understand.
So that he did his visit to Rose. I'm just going to sidestep.
Oh, you're just going to you're keeping going. Okay, all right.
He fell in love with the campus when he did his visit.
Okay, well, Terre Haute.
And he liked Rose. Yeah, Terre Haute. My wife wasn't too sure. Teresa wasn't too sure about
the town of Terre Haute's kind of. Yeah.
I think the first.
You can find prettier parts. How about that?
Yes, and I knew about Rose from when I was looking at schools. I ended up going to Illinois because. Being seventh of eight children in state school, yeah. It was from an affordability thing for me. And so I suggested to Ben that he put it on his radar as a school to look at. When Ben got serious about going to Rose, Teresa went to Google and typed in Terre Haute, and I think the first thing that came back was methamphetamine capital of the world. And
we did go through
some consternation about the beauty is that Rose is off. A little bit off the beaten path of Terre Haute and kind of in its own little bubble there. But what a great school. I'm now on the board of advisors for the computer science department.
Oh, really?
At Rose. Yeah,
nice.
So very impressed with what they're doing there. We had a great experience. Ben had a great experience there in terms of the education, his knowledge level.
Coach let him play, too.
Coach let him play.
Because he had dad on the board, sounds like to me.
That's
a joke.
He's number two all-time assists.
Oh, good for him. Soccer. He clearly earned his time.
And helped the team to its first ever NCAA tournament win. They went three levels deep. He had the assist when they beat the number one team in the country in the NCAA tournament. So it was cost us a lot in airfare to go visit
him. I was
going to
say, you seem somewhat proud.
I'm very proud.
That's wonderful.
And then Maddie got involved in the athletic training program in high school and fell in love with that, decided that's what the path she wanted to pursue, and specifically wanted to get her doctorate in physical therapy.
Okay.
Looked at various programs, and she liked the one that was at University of Evansville. And maybe she liked the fact that it was only an hour and a half away from where her brother was going.
See, now that's probably a lot. That was probably a pretty good sized part of it.
She says that that's not it, but you wonder whether it did lead in. But she's there. That's why I'm here today, right? Dropped her off for her start of her junior year, and made the trip over to catch up with my good friend.
Well, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Now that's too bad. It's a shame you couldn't bring Teresa along.
We'll do that on another trip.
Okay.
You get her on this show. Boy, you'll get her. You think I talk on that. You get her
talking. I do know you talk. I've seen you in action. You know, the crazy thing is we're about done for this one. And ladies and gentlemen, if I got Casey talking politics or talking the world in general, we might be able to go another several hours. Do you think?
Yeah, I think I would make all the Republicans and Democrats and other party-affiliated people angry.
No,
I wouldn't make them angry.
I'm fiercely independent.
Yes, I think we need some independence in this country.
Well, that's wonderful. We do need to get Teresa up here because I haven't seen her since. I haven't seen her since. I probably saw you more often than her after our freshman year.
Yeah, I remember you coming by my
We would still hang out occasionally and talk for the next two or three years, but after our freshman year,
I remember being out late studying on a Friday night. I think I was studying, and it was early on Saturday morning on a game day. And here's this tuba blowing through my window.
Reveille. You needed to be up.
That was not a happy moment, Bruce.
You know, I did that specially for you. I had there were several of us. There were like five or six of us. That was all special. You don't feel special from that?
I felt very special. I felt especially something. I wasn't sure what it was.
That's right. Well, Casey, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining me on this. And really, congratulations on all your success, as well as especially congratulations on the one of the fastest growing companies in the United States. Did you enjoy the show? Are you ever going to come back?
I'll definitely come back.
Well, that's
especially
cool.
Come back. All your, you know, if any of your listeners are experienced senior Java database developers.
I don't
send you their resume, and you can send them on to me.
I don't have any idea what he even means when he says that. Folks, thanks for listening today. We'll talk to y'all real soon.